Welcome home, neighbors.
Hello, neighbors.
We're listening from
Arizona,
Florida,
Maryland,
New York,
New Jersey,
Indianapolis,
California,
Utah,
Michigan,
Iowa, Massachusetts,
Georgia,
Canada.
Our home resort is
Animal Kingdom,
Polynesian,
Bay Lake Tahoe,
Old Key West,
Lavia,
Boardwalk,
Alani Resort,
Hilton Head,
Boulder Ridge,
Copper Creek,
Grand Floridian,
Saratoga Springs,
Beach Club,
and Wilderness Lodge.
And you're listening to
Hello and welcome to the DVC Newscast, episode number 17. I am Peter Shidley and I'm guest hosting for Shannon, who is at Disney World as we speak, so enjoying time with her family, and instead it's just me and Jake. How are you doing, Jake?
I'm doing great, and I'm actually going to be the flip side next week. I leave out on Monday, the 7th, to Walt Disney World.
I know, I'm all jealous of both of you guys. This is a fun time of year to go to Disney. I know the crowds have been fairly large, but not as large as they often are, but it's the holiday season, so it's always a fun time.
Yeah, always a good time, and now we're getting some really good weather here in South Florida and Central Florida. I've heard it's really nice over there in the 50s, so it should be a good time if the weather holds up.
I'm only 2 months away, so it's not too bad. At least I got a trip on the horizon, but we got some news today. We decided it's been almost 2 weeks since we recorded. We decided to record an episode with a couple of news items. But before we get to that, let's quickly talk about our sponsor this week, and that is DVC Resale Market. If you have a property that you want to sell, or if you are looking to expand your DVC points collection, DVC Resale Market is the number one resale site in the country. If you are interested in getting a contract, they have lots of options. You can go to their website. I know Shannon has used them. I think you use them too, right, Jake?
Yep, I've used them a couple of times, and they're awesome. You get the same level of customer service that you do through Disney Vacation Club through them, because all of their reps are actually former DVC guides.
Yeah, I've used them myself, and we recommend them a lot, not just because they're sponsors, but because we've used them as well. Go to DVC Resale Market. If you want a contract, they're the place to go. On to our first item. Actually, do you want to cover this first one? Because I think it's more affecting of you and Shannon than it would be for me, but why don't you go ahead and cover the new Brightline train?
Yeah, so we got the Brightline coming to Walt Disney World. So Brightline and Walt Disney World have announced that they have entered into an agreement to build a train station at Disney Springs. The Brightline station will add a new travel option between Walt Disney World and Orlando International Airport. It will also connect guests from Miami, Fort Lauderdale, West Palm Beach, and planned stations in Aventura, Boca Raton, and Port Miami. Brightline's expansion from West Palm Beach to Orlando International Airport is slated to be completed in 2022, so that Orlando Airport station is still in the works. It's not done yet, and it shouldn't be done for another 2 years. And then no date has been announced for the Walt Disney World station until they complete the Orlando station. And overall, this is really great news, especially for South Floridians, because looking at the map, it looks like you can get from Fort Lauderdale to Orlando in 2.5 hours, which that is normally a 3.5 to 4 hour drive for South Floridians like Shannon and myself. So all in all, really good news. And I know a lot of people are excited about the expansion from Orlando Airport to Disney Springs, because that could save them a trip on the Magical Express, which could be a hit or miss sometimes.
It'll be interesting to see what they do, because normally if you take the Magical Express, they pick up your luggage, you have to go down there, you have to take the bus has to stop 3 or 4 different places. It's quite possible that they may change how Magical Express works, and they may put you on the Brightline from the airport to Disney Springs, and then you pick up a bus at Disney Springs to your resort, or if you don't want to go directly to your resort, you can go right to a park. They could still transport your luggage. Now, right now with the COVID-19 pandemic, they're not actually picking up your luggage, which would make it difficult. Of course, this is all just speculation.
Yeah, I don't know if they would actually eliminate Magical Express completely. Maybe give guests an option and give them maybe a discounted or comped ticket to do the Brightline. And that way, either way, it'll clear up traffic on the Magical Express. Even if people just opt out on their own and choose to just pay for it out of pocket, it'll clear up some of that traffic that you see sometimes at Magical Express during high timed areas.
Another question that comes out of that, though, is if you do go on the Brightline and you go to Disney Springs and you're staying on property, normally you can't take a Disney bus with your luggage. They don't allow that. Mm-hmm. So if you came from Fort Lauderdale, Miami, and took the train up, and you got off at the Disney Springs station. Now you have your luggage. How do you get to your resort? Are they going to have special buses from there for the resorts, or how is that going to work? We'll see more information come out over the next couple of years. The one point you made there is it is at least 2 years until the Orlando Airport one is completed, and then there's no date set for the Disney Springs one. So it's still a little ways off.
Yeah, I would expect maybe a year, two, three after the Orlando Airport one is done, and maybe a year until we even get some more information on breaking ground and stuff, because I think they're going to try to get that one out of the way first, maybe even the Palm Beach one out of the way first, and then start working up the coast and then inland. Because I know Tampa's part of that group too, that is going to be an expansion after the Disney World one. You got a lot of places, a lot of hurdles to jump before you get to Disney World.
And a big question is going to be price, because I know living in the Northeast, there's a lot of train service up here, but one of the problems with the train services around here is it costs as much as flying. So it's closer to the speed of a car, but for the price of an airplane, and that kind of doesn't work for a lot of people.
My flight from Fort Lauderdale to Orlando, which I'm actually taking next week, is usually $49. And that's not a COVID thing. That's just the standard for Southwest. So I don't know if they can compete with anything close to $49, because that's already pretty cheap.
Yeah, but if it's $49 and, as you say, like a 2.5 hour train ride, even though it's maybe not faster, you don't have to deal with going through an airport, going through security and all those types of things, it might still be something that's beneficial if it's a similar price, let's put it that way, to take the train. If it takes you right to Disney instead of just have it taken to the airport and then you have to take Magical Express.
No, I'm definitely super excited about it. I'm sure Shannon is as well, because I'm considering it. Even if it's a little more expensive, I'd rather just hop on the train. Like you said, I don't have to deal with TSA, with any of the traffic of the airport, and I could just take Magical Express from the airport, and then it should be 3.5 hours the whole time, which is the same as me driving, but it's a lot less stress. It's more letting another person do the driving for me the whole time.
So our next story is that Imagineer Joe Rohde announces his retirement. After 40 years with Walt Disney Imagineering, Joe Rohde has announced that he will be retiring on January 4th, 2021. Rohde has a very impressive resume, as some of his highlights include working on the team who opened Disney's Animal Kingdom Park. I'm reading this article and I'm thinking, working on the team, he led the team for Disney's Animal Kingdom Park. He also led the Pandora team as well. He was very much a part of the Aulani construction. And he also very famously was one of the leads on the Adventurers Club as part of Pleasure Island. While the Disney community will definitely miss him as an Imagineer, he will be recognized as a legend whose projects will bring enjoyment for years to come. So let me ask you, Jake, you're younger than I am. What's your take on Joe Rohde?
So I'm a big fan of Joe Rohde. I love Animal Kingdom Park. I love Animal Kingdom Lodge. I love the ambiance there, Adventurers Club and Pleasure Island. I got to experience that a little bit. Even though I'm young, I still remember Pleasure Island a little bit over in Downtown Disney. And of course, you have Pandora, the World of Avatar, which is fairly new still. And I just love Pandora. I think he's a very special Imagineer in the sense that he did things that were outside of the box. And I think you need that to be an Imagineer to begin with, but he just went above and beyond. We will definitely be able to enjoy his projects for years to come.
Yeah, I think the big thing with him was that he very much pushed for the level of immersion in theming that is incomparable to a lot of what we saw. If you think about where they went from in the late 80s, early 90s, Hollywood Studios, which isn't a very heavily themed park, to be quite honest. I'd say it's themed like a movie studio, but it's lightly themed. He had such a big hand in Animal Kingdom, and that park has a very impressive theming all around. And I think he very much pushed for authenticity within the theming of areas, and the reason you see the level of detail that you do when you go to Africa or Asia, even the Pandora, the level of detail there. I know, again, the authenticity at Aulani, he's actually from Hawaii, so he was very influential on making sure that there was a lot of authenticity at Aulani, and that was very well received by the Hawaiian native community. So he had a big hand in that. He was supposed to also be involved with the new island for the Disney Cruise Line. that they announced last year at D23, that he was involved with that as well. I'm sure his influence will still be felt on that, but I think he's really going to be missed. He really did a lot for Disney parks.
Now, Animal Kingdom is one of my favorite parks. Animal Kingdom Lodge is one of my favorite places to be at Walt Disney World. And he took something so simple, like a zoo, which was already around even before Disney World came about, and turned it into something so authentic and something that you can't get anywhere else. And he also actually worked on a little bit on transitioning the Tower of Terror out in California Adventure over to Guardians of the Galaxy Mission Breakout. He had a little bit to do with that as well. And that's an awesome ride. I've been on it myself and it was a fun time.
Yeah, he's had his hand in a lot of things. It's too bad for the fans, but it's good for Joe because he's worked a long time and now he can enjoy his retirement and travel even more, I'm sure, because he was definitely a traveler. Did you ever get to see him or hear him talk in person?
So I've seen a couple webinars and a couple of things on social media of him, but I've never actually seen him in person, like at an event or something. I know he goes to the D23 Expo, to Destination D, which is every other year in Walt Disney World, and I have yet to actually make it out to one of those events. So maybe, but who knows, he could pop up as an alumni at one of those events in the future. So yeah, we'll keep our eyes out for that.
There's a pretty good chance you'll still see him. I was lucky enough to... We went and saw a presentation at the last D23. It was him and Scott Trowbridge, and there were a couple others that were talking about how they make things so immersive. I didn't meet him, but I got to watch him speak, so that was pretty cool. So yeah. Good for you, Joe. Those are our main topics. The only other thing we wanted to talk about was a few little changes in December going on. One is they're calling it the small fireworks are returning to Magic Kingdom. That started during Thanksgiving week, that you'd see occasional small firework bursts behind Cinderella Castle during the holiday projections. And it's nowhere near the normal version of the fireworks show, but at least people are getting to see some fireworks. I think they're trying to do it in a way that people won't necessarily gather to watch it and take up that space in front of the castle. And then also they've increased park hours for December up through the end of the month. I know they're not open till midnight on New Year's Eve, but I think it's 10 or 11.
It's going to be after the 20th, it's going to be 10 p.m. at Magic Kingdom. And then as we get closer to New Year's Eve and on New Year's Eve, they bump it up to 11 p.m., which is really nice. We're starting to see some normal park hours again, which I'm a big fan of. I love the parks at night.
One of the biggest things I was annoyed at in my October trip was that we go in the morning, come back to the room, rest, and then go at night. So we tend to open the parks and close the parks. And like closing the parks at 6-7 o'clock was not cutting it.
Yeah, there's no going back. I do the same game plan as well. I do one park in the morning, pool, and then a different park at night. But if the parks are closing at 6, there's really no going back. It's not like you're going to go back for an hour.
Right, exactly. Epcot was open till 9 on the weekends. We were going back into Epcot for that 9 o'clock, but yeah, it wasn't the same. So that's great to see. And I remember the days. That's the one thing that's always annoyed me with all these specialty nighttime events, is that not that long ago, especially with the extra magic hours, the park would be open till midnight, and then you get another 2-3 hours or something like that. And not that I wanted to stay up till 3 a.m. every night of my trip, but it was a lot of fun to be there that late at night.
I know, I definitely remember those 2 a.m., 3 a.m. sometimes extra magic hour days when I was a little bit younger. And I would go in with my family and we would enjoy it. And the parks would be super empty. You could walk on anything. And then you get that a little bit with Disney After Hours now. Before COVID, they had that program. You would have to pay for it, but it would still be that same experience.
Exactly. It used to be free. And now you got to pay $100 or more. For the same experience, and people were doing it. I probably shouldn't complain, but yeah, it was definitely not my favorite that they got rid of that. But anyways, it's good to see they're increasing hours. We're going down February, which is a lot of the folks in the Northeast have President's Week off. So that's usually a pretty busy week, and most of the week the parks are open late. So hopefully we'll get some decent hours. Hopping will be back. We talked about that last episode.
January 1st, they'll be back. And I actually go back next week or even sooner by the time you're listening to this. And I'm very excited to see the fireworks. I love fireworks over at Disney World. They're my favorite thing to see at Disney. One of the reasons why I bought into Vacation Club and why I'm such a fan to begin with. And I think this is all they can do with the small fireworks. It's not like you could do random big firework disperse, because then you'll have a lot of scared people in the Magic Kingdom,
right?
If you make them really big. So I don't expect those big grand fireworks to return until we get set times. Even if it's not happily ever after, they'll be like, hey, they're going off at 8:30.
Yeah. And I do have to say, another fun thing to me about this is I love Happily Ever After. I think it's a great show, but it really requires that kind of being in front of the castle to get the full effect of the show. Mm-hmm. And it's also fun to get the fireworks from other places in Magic Kingdom. And if they're just going up off at random, it seems like it would be really fun to just be walking around Magic Kingdom and then poof, there's the fireworks. So
yeah,
I think that's kind of cool. That to me has been the one negative, and that probably hurts bringing fireworks back from COVID, is that obviously the castle was always very popular place to watch the fireworks, but when they added the projections, it became almost essential to be there in front of the castle to watch the show. I can see why they're not going to be bringing that back anytime soon, but it's good to see. Now they got to just bring Tinkerbell back.
Yeah, we got to see Tink flying again. And like you said, yeah, it's nice to get a little bit of a taste that they haven't forgotten about us. They are acknowledging that they know that Disney fans love fireworks. And that, to me, is, I'm happy to hear that.
Yep. And they keep working on the new Epcot Harmonious show. You know, it's coming back eventually.
Yep. So we'll see it. I think a lot of Disney fans are happy about that.
Yep, that's for sure. That's all we have this week. So shorter show than normal, but hey, it is what it is.
It is what it is. Yeah, we should be getting some more news coming next week, as we have the condo association meeting for DVC on December 10th at 2:10 p.m. if anybody's going to be out there at Walt Disney World. It runs about an hour. And then we actually just learned recently that they will be uploading a virtual abbreviated version right after the meeting for members to watch, and you have to log into your DVC portal and watch it through there. And we still don't know if they're going to have a live version of the meeting, but at least if anybody wants to watch it afterwards, you'll have that option.
Yeah, hopefully that we're going to hear some kind of announcement about if and when they're going to do any kind of refund with the 2020 dues, because the resorts were closed for so long. So we're hoping to hear something about that. And if there's any new announcements of the 2022 points charts, those often come in conjunction with that meeting. So I would expect that we'll have some more things to share.
Yeah, a lot of good stuff coming up at the end of the year. And who knows, at the end of the year is when Disney as a whole, as a company in general, likes to release a lot of news. We might have some more surprises for you guys coming up next month.
Yeah, that would be great.
Yep.
All right. But until next time, just remember, if you are listening to us on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, please like us, give us a review. If you like the show, 5-star reviews are great. They really help us out. Reviews help us out and get us a greater level of attention. And also, don't be afraid to share the show if you enjoy it with your friends. Also, check out the other podcasts we have on the My DVC Points Network, the My DVC Points Community Hall podcast on Sunday nights at 9 o'clock, as well as Chad's My DVC Points podcast that he does as well. So there's 3 different podcasts, including ours. Keep listening, and everybody have a wonderful holiday season, and we'll be talking to you soon.
Yep. See you real soon, guys.
Bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, please watch your head and step as you exit, and take small children by the hand.
Aw, cheer up, Dad. You know I'll come back. With DVC.
My DVC Points is an unofficial Disney-inspired podcast created by fans of Disney Vacation Club. The thoughts expressed in this podcast are personal opinions and personal experiences. My DVC Points is not affiliated with Disney Vacation Club, the Walt Disney Companies, or any subsidiaries. We encourage listeners to contact their DVC guide or member services for official DVC policies.